نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Discussing from this kitab, إصلاح المعاملات, correction of monetary dealings, which is very very important in the life of a Muslim. For his du'as to be accepted, for his ibadah to be accepted, is very very important that his income is absolutely halal. No doubt in it whatsoever. This is one department of our life where we can't afford to make a mistake. Because in the hadith it's mentioned more or less that a person will go for hajj. And how much preparation before that? Meditation, apply online, finally his name comes through, and he has the life savings. He goes for hajj, and on the place of Arafat, or wherever it may be. And this now is the pinnacle of his spirituality, waiting for all his life to get here. The hadith sharif says more or less that he raises his hands and he makes dua to Allah. And he's pleading, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Ta'amuhu haram, wa sharabuhu haram, wa libasuhu haram, fa anna lahu al-ijaba. That his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram. Where will his dua ever be accepted? Right there on Arafat, in Hajj, where du'as are readily accepted. It is because his income was not halal. Hadith Sharif says also that person who consumes one luqma, one morsel of haram food, then the fire of Jahannam is more worthy for his body than anything else. Jannat is haram for him, Jahannam now will be his abode. So how important for the roziyat income to be? Absolutely halal. So here thereafter Hazrat mentions the important masail regarding interest. Important masail regarding interest. It is not permitted to save money. It is not permitted to save money in a bank. To open an account, if a person opens an account in a bank for any other purpose, to say for saving, I want to save money in the bank, they'll give me some returns. The bank will give me some returns. Or he's doing it now because he wants some lounge access. They'll give me a card, I can use a certain lounge at the airport. Then immediately that transaction becomes impermissible. He cannot use the bank for any of his perks. The only reason a person can use the bank is for safekeeping. It's the only purpose for safekeeping, and because now the entire business and commercial world has now been based upon transactions via the bank. So you've got to use them for that EFT, payments, etc., etc. So, but that purpose will be permissible. But to put money in the bank for any other purpose besides this, for transactions and for safekeeping, then just to open a bank account will not be permissible. Some people open our interest-bearing account with the intention, now I'll accrue interest to give the money to the poor. That too is not permissible. That too is not permissible. Or I'll accrue that interest now to offset certain accounts which are haram. So to say now, tax or income tax or transfer tax, duty tax. So I've got that specific account that gives me interest just for this. Or because now I'm a speedster, got a heavy foot. So I got one there just for tickets only. So I get some haram money there just to. So ulama say it's likened or equal to, or maybe worse. Understand now. A person opened that account for these purposes. It's like a person bought one farm with only pigs. They're rearing these pigs. In case now there's certain areas they don't have food over there, so I'll slaughter and I'll feed. I'll slaughter and I'll feed them. Haram. Nobody will do anything like that. But he buys a farm, this will be a pig, it's cheaper to have bacon. Allah Ta'ala save us. Alright, we open the factory now. Anywhere now in the country, they got some problem with water. So I open an alcohol beer factory. So in case they need something to drink, I'll, because it's cheap now. Compared to a local brand cold drinks. So I better just distribute that. Haram, we know that. The same way now to have an account like this where the interest coming on your name, then a person can forget now, فَأَنَّ لَهُ الْإِجَابَةِ. Where will his dua be accepted? Where will his dua be accepted? He can be making dua, but I got this account open right now. So it is not permitted to save money in a bank. This will only be permitted when there is no alternative method to protect one's wealth. Like for us now. Not saving, this is now to keep it safe in the bank. So there's no other avenue. You can't leave your money anywhere else. It's not safe right now. Therefore, we are compelled to open a bank account to leave the money there for safekeeping. Or as I mentioned now, the commercial world has become like that, where people do payment into your bank account. Nobody is carrying cash anymore. So in that case now, as a last resort, we have to open a bank account. But just for no purpose, right? Children's account too, we've got to have it now for the sake of safekeeping. Not for the sake of savings. Safekeeping. But to take anything from the bank, they should be very, very careful. As we mentioned now, they've got some pocket account. We don't know really where it's coming from, that money. Although they may put the Islamic. As I mentioned, anything you can put Islamic doesn't make it Islamic. Doesn't make it Islamic. Many a times, the contracts, the ulama have gone through the bank contracts, and the contracts would be 100% Sharia compliant. The contract is Sharia compliant, but the implementation of that contract is Sharia compliant. Example, now you told the staff that you must do 1, 2 and 3. This is how you must do it. So, whatever you told him is 100% Sharia compliant. But when he's doing the task now, it's completely against Sharia. Against Sharia. Whatever task it may be, now he's not doing it right. And we know commonly it happens like that. We tell the staff, do it like this. Right? You got to do this first, then do that, then do that. But he does it totally the opposite way. Then you say, but I told you to do it like this. And you always do it like this. Now how come today, he said, this slipped my mind. In the same way, there are many things you find that the Islamic mention there, the contract is Islamic. Like ourselves, we look Islamic. But Allah Ta'ala says you must do like this, like this, like this. We do it the opposite way. We do it the opposite way. But the Quran is 100% that is Sharia. Hadith Sharif is Sharia. But the implementation is a problem. So, it happens very often in the banks also that everything is Sharia compliant, meaning the contracts are Sharia compliant. Ulama went through it. Those ulama that are in Islamic banking, they agree with it. So now they put a tick there, it is Sharia compliant. But the implementation is important, the staff, how they would implement these contracts. For example now, just to explain very quickly, if a person has to purchase a car via the bank. So purchase the car via the bank, then we know we go to them, we need finance, etc. So they approve it. Then they'll tell you, go pick up the vehicle, go and do the deal. Now in reality, who's the purchaser? It's the bank. So you have to understand now, I'm going to conclude the deal on behalf of the bank. I am the agent, I'm the wakil, I'm not the purchaser right now. I am the wakil. So you will send that document as document of wakalat. That now you are the agent on behalf of the bank to conclude the deal, then you go to the dealer, etc. This is the car I want, etc. Then the release payment. On the release payment, now you took you took delivery of the vehicle, you took it with you. Then the bank has to now conclude and cancel off that contract of wakalat and the contract of you being a wakil and agent for the bank, you no more. Now it's a new contract altogether. Now we become the bank becomes the seller, and now you become the purchaser, they put up their profit over there. Then that's stage number two. So is that permissible to sign all the contracts one time? I sign all the contracts, I'm the wakil, and I'm also the purchaser. How can it be? You're the purchaser, you signed it, we're also the purchaser. The bank also is the purchaser, and now you are the wakil and the purchaser. So in Sharia, it's not permissible. So you're going in the capacity to pick up the vehicle now, that I'm coming to pick it up as the wakil, agent of the bank, and I'm also banking it from, but I'm paying this price. This is the price I agreed on behalf of the bank, and at the same time, I agreed to the bank to buy it now for a higher price. So the whole thing, what we can see in our layman's terms, is kachumbar. So each contract has to be fulfilled completely, signed off, then your status, Sharia status changes. Then we sign the next contract. Then you become the purchaser. Now more than often the brothers tell us that we're waiting for the contracts to come through. We need to sign, we need to pick up the vehicle, etc., etc. Then we go last minute to the bank where they send us the thing by email. And all the contracts are sent one time, just sign off each one and just email it back. Now, all those contracts, more than often, probably are Sharia compliant. Implementation of that right. No contract becomes riba. Becomes interest or becomes null and void. There is no contract between me and the bank really, but I'm paying them something. According to Sharia, you're paying them for nothing really. They're charging you for something, really what it is for. So that's why we gotta be so careful when they put this Islamic there, we gotta ask the ulama-i-karam. As I mentioned, there are those ulama that have now expertise in this field, Islamic banking and economics, etc. So alhamdulillah, doing a great service also. And those that don't agree with the entire banking system, they don't agree with how the entire system is, although it may be Islamic. So I got to be very careful now when I am doing any of these transactions. So the main thing for us to understand, this entire system that the kuffar have given us, this is a kuffar system with the, we are working around, remember. That our complete system. Is there a kuffar system that we are just trying to work around? Just to make it compliant because we are living amongst kuffar. So we are trying, so if you understand this, then we will also understand that we only use the system according to the bare necessity and need. As much as we need to, we'll use it. If I don't need to, then I don't use it. I don't go sit to the bank and look for products now. Although they want to give us products. But really what they're doing with the money, and we mentioned the other day also, what's the Islamic system of banking, investing, joint venture. This is barakat, and you're building a brotherhood between the Muslims. So is that permitted now to save money in the bank, but to open a savings account for safekeeping, that is permitted. It is sinful to assist in anything involving interest. Seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. And as we mentioned also, when it comes to interest, whether it comes to paying the interest, etc. Here now, we see in this system, they're just waiting to charge us the interest. They're waiting. And they make it difficult for us. Therefore, we should make dua, Allah ta'ala save us from this interest and haram. We don't want a bit of it, nothing of it. Now it happens, unfortunately, person buys a property. Then he gets a stiff bill that the previous owner now didn't pay the water, didn't pay the light, and the interest is accruing and accruing. He goes to municipality, he tries to sort it out with them. It takes 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, and the interest is just accruing. They say, well, you've got to knock off the interest first. Then, those that are idiots, they know better. We just hear more or less how they operate these things. Then, from what I heard recently, that they have a certain thing. If the account gets so much that you can go to them, and you can knock off the interest or whatever the arrears are, whatever it may be, etc. So we should take advantage to the maximum when it comes to this. That interest, you don't want to pay it. You'll pay the original amount, whatever it may be. So they have all these things, all these municipal accounts, and whether it be telecom and other things, that they want to put interest there. So as far as possible, when it comes to also a person got caught in the bank, and his credit card now is maxed, and he can't pay, and he's just accruing, then you can go for some settlement figure. Gee, you can go for some settlement figure. Many brothers don't know this now. For years they're carrying on, I can't pay. Should go make mashura with the alim that knows the system, etc. Or to some business friend, go to the bank, let her sit with them and discuss with them that I'm out of a job or I only can afford so much. And they can say maybe alhamdulillah, they're prepared to come to the table. They'll give you some discount in regards to that, so you don't have to pay the interest. Taking a profit from a person after granting him a loan is regarded as interest. Taking a profit from a person after granting him a loan, you loaned him some money, and now you are taking some profit from there, which is absolutely impermissible. A loan is a loan, interest free, there is no interest whatsoever over there. If you are going into a joint venture or going to some deal, then it's different. But the deal also has to be correct. What's the deal about? Just to give him now his 100,000 rand, he said, I need 100,000 rand. I'm going into some business venture, so I need 100,000 rand. So you tell him, okay, here's 100,000 rand, and every month returns 5,000. Haram. Absolutely haram. It has to be a percentage. It cannot be a figure. It cannot be a figure. It has to be a percentage. So you have to put there a certain percentage. Right? But it has to be very clear that am I investing with you? What is it? Murabaha, musharaka. What's the... In Sharia, it has to fall into one of these sections. What type of it? Is this a partnership we're going into? Is it a running business? Now you're investing 100,000 rand into his business. So it means that now you have become a partner to whatever percentage it may be. He said, no, you're not a partner. I just need an injection in the business, but I'll pay you every month 20% or 30%. What is it? What's the money for? So this has to be very clear. This is very common, brothers come to say, we invested. Invested in what? He said, I don't know, he needed this, so I gave him 100,000 rand, and he's giving me every month so much. So what's it for? Are you a partner in his business? Is he in Mudaraba right now? Is he the Rabbul Mal? You're the investor? And he's the one that is working and doing the business? If it is like that, it is Mudaraba, that it means any loss is your loss, clearly in your shoulders. There's nothing from him, unless he was careless. He's only working for you. If it's Musharaka, if it was now a partnership, then what was the ratio? What was the percentage? Well, you're 50-50, 60-40. So if there was a knock now, who will take the loss? You'll take 60%, he'll take 40%. Because it's Musharaka. So all this thing has to be, it becomes interest. All this becomes haram thereafter. It is not permissible to insure your life. Life insurance, not permissible. Absolutely haram. And here also, there are many Muslim agents, unfortunately, that are catching the old people. He took his package, whatever it was, provident fund, he had to, it was not optional, working for a company, retirement fund, wasn't working, he was working for the company, so they were doing it from their side. Now he got the payout. And now, certain broker knows that the old man took his, he's got his package, so they go to him, they say, see, give me the money, whatever it is, right, open up a life insurance policy, and you pay nothing. You pay, I heard this person told me also, you don't pay anything. Every month, whatever the premiums are, whether 4,000 or 5,000, whatever you have to pay for that life insurance, you don't pay anything, but you just write there in your will now, this life insurance policy, at the time of your demise, 50% for me, 50% for your wife. But I will pay everything. For the broker. So you don't worry about it. You just give me your ID, etc., I'll do all the paperwork, and you sign it, and you don't pay anything whatsoever. I'll pay it, but he knows in his mind the figures already. It's only 3,000-4,000. This old man now, he has to pass away, then I'll give 50% of that, whatever the payment, the payout will be. So the old man in his mind now, very good. Right, the only English is get something. This money I got will get finished sooner or later. So like this, many brokers now, so to say, they make you feel that, is that haram? You're not doing anything. You're not paying anything. I'm sorting it out. This is my department. But 50% is for me. Anything happens to you. But he's signing it at the bottom. So he's part of it already. Allah Ta'ala says, as he goes into the qabr, there's no coming back now doing it. There's no coming back and undoing it. And even the old lady also, how strong is her iman to say, I don't want 5 million, I don't want 10 million. Who's strong enough to say that? And why I'm saying this, these are realities. The Messiah will come to us. Sometimes we're sitting with that whole letter the old lady wrote, and this is it, he left this and this, and he left now also life insurance policy. Now there's 5 million over there. So Muti Sahib, make a plan to make it halal. Make a plan to make it halal. We need the money right now. We need the money right now because we already booked the holiday, we have to go. I told the children and grandchildren, all of them, I'm taking them. Now, it's haram, this thing. You can't use it. You can't use it. If only he can tell you what's happening in the qabr to him right now, he put one signature over there and he sold his akhirat. He sold his akhirat. Just on a little bit of money. That's why Hazrat is reiterating, we are not here for dunya. We're here for akhirat. Allah Ta'ala made us to make, this is a dunya mazra'atul akhirat. Dunya is a kheti, is a field, cultivation land for akhirat. Is that a cultivation land? To cultivate again. Understand, we're not here to make money, to make more money. And then to make more money. And then to make more money. We haven't come for that. Just to make more. Like how they say a kafir, he eats like that. He eats to full 7 intestines. Kafir came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi of Allah hosted him. So Sahaba Ikram brought some food. He ate, still wasn't set aside, brought more, till there was nothing left. He ate and then 2 wasn't finished. Then the next day accepted Islam. Nabi of Allah hosted him. Bring some food now. Sahaba Ikram's mind, ya Allah, how much are you going to bring for him? They brought, and if you work out the calculation, the next day he only ate 1/7 of what he ate the day before, and he was full. So they got a shock. You want to be a fallah yesterday? And what are the difference? See, a kafir eats to full 7 guts, 7 intestines. And a Muslim eats to full 1 gut. Except that Imam Islam, barakat came already. In that 1/7 of the food, he got full. Doesn't eat Bismillah, then we'll eat like that also. See, how much is he eating? Well, he didn't read Bismillah. He didn't always accustomed now never to read Bismillah. So his appetite is like that. But if he reads Bismillah, there's barakat in it. And we find commonly also when you go out, there's no barakat in the food. We just ate and we finish eat a full meal, And how much you order also, for one person, that much you don't eat at home also. That much you eat a fraction of that. There's no barakat in that food. You eat and then what else in the menu? Bring the menu again back. What else you've got there? First you start with the starters, then you got the appetizers, then you got the soups, and then you go to the main menu. After that, now what's left? And then too, we're not finished. But at home, alhamdulillah, and how? It takes a few hours to sit there. But at home, in half an hour, we finished. Barakat food. That's barakat. So when it comes to life insurance, not permissible. Also to insure the business or the vehicle, this is also not permissible. That is why we are speaking. We mentioned last night, Hazrat says, one is you got the ibadat right. And now to get the sifat of iman. To get the sifat of iman also, Ajib Hazrat mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago in his program. He says, just we have tawheed also, is that sufficient? Tawheed means to believe in the oneness of Allah. Is that enough, sufficient for you to get Jannat? I believe in Allah, 100%, with all the sifat, iman, yaqeen, everything. You see, Allah has put a stamp on the life of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're going to have that attached to your tawheed. Nabi of Allah, what was his lifestyle? Without that, your tawheed is incomplete. You're going to have the complete lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we didn't study his life, we don't know his life, we don't have that affinity. If you don't have the affinity, you don't have the ta'aleem, you don't have the effort of deen in your life, you'll never understand what it is to be a real Muslim. You'll never understand what it is to be a real Muslim because I haven't studied the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We've studied for 12, 15, 20 years the kuffar system. So we know how that operates. The life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how to trust in Allah, how to believe in Allah. In Uhud, in Badr, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can understand now from his life the system of Allah. That Allah has a system. Even the Nabi of Allah had to raise his hands and cry. Even he had to raise his hands in Badr the entire night till his shawl fell off his shoulder to implore Allah to protect the ummah. We don't want to cry. We don't want to cry. And even crying also is enjoyment. In their crying is an enjoyment. And Hazrat says, what kind of enjoyment? Like that person eating that pineapple that's full of masala, or the chevra. Chevro is eating full of masala. Or, our example to understand better, having that alim and iftari. It's full of mashallah, fresh chilies. And his nose is running, his tears are flowing. He finished the bowl, he says, Abu Sahab, there is more there. He said, but you're suffering, you're crying. And even another bowl, he said, but you can't understand the enjoyment of it. And when you put more lemon in there, and you put the naan in there, and you have butter with it, subhanallah. But you say, but you suffer, you ask for more tissues. But it's enjoying. It's enjoyable. This is how crying to Allah is enjoyable. I'm crying to Allah, but I'm enjoying myself. But then we don't exert ourselves to get that level of enjoyment. The heart becomes soft, and I just enjoy raising my hands and crying to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So we haven't experienced that. Crying to Allah to get His help. And when the help came from Allah, finally, Ya Allah, how you did it for me, Ya Allah, I can't believe it. Like you just made it. Alright, you got a flight now, you got to be there 1-2 hours. We say 1-2 hours, so it was 3 hours before that. But yeah, I know the system, now I make it. And as you came in, they just closed it, I said, boss, make a plan. Come, I'm here. Oh, I got whatever status, diamond status, this status, etc., etc. Okay, Mr. So-and-so. Made a phone call there to the headquarters there, still packing the bag, we got one more passenger here, he's got so and so status, let him through. Yeah, how you smile today? Made it. And the family phone to say, Alhamdulillah, I made it. Just made it. But that enjoyment. So this is enjoyment with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, after the crying, how Allah ta'ala made it happen, Ya Allah, only you did it. Now we don't want that crying. So quick fix is what? Pick up the phone, just insure the car, insure the house, insure this, insure that. So it's done. There's a kuffar system. Instant gratification. There's no sabr. And we had the whole discussion, Allah Ta'ala is with those that are shakirin, that are grateful to Allah, or Allah is with those that have sabr. Allah says, those that make shukr, I increase. Those that make sabr, I am with them. He made sabr. The whole deal is there. Just got to sign it off. All the vehicles, all the cars, all this, all that, businesses, the house and everything else. Basically, as ulama say, that when Ishpateh Sahib Rahimullah gave the example, same example, I've got all these insurance policies, like I reared all these khanazir and pigs. In case I have some disaster, I have a problem at home now, there's no halal meat in the industry, I've got one pig farm somewhere, so that as a last resort we'll use that, so just keep it over there. So the insurance is the same thing. Insurance is the same thing also, that if I do have a problem, then I got this backup. And as one alim says now, what the insurance is actually meant to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I've got myself covered. Right, so I've got my airbags. Ya Allah, you hit any side, I got you covered, don't worry. Whether you hit the house, the children, the businesses, Ya Allah, you can hit. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I will test you. I will test you in your business, in your family, in your life, in your rozi, in your health, in your wealth. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Allah, and وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ in Arabic is such a word that comes with absolute emphasis. La, the word wa la, la comes to show emphasis that most definitely. Then you have noon thaqila, it's called in Arabic noon thaqila. Wala nabluwannakum. There's a pull of gunna also. My banda, listen carefully. Zarur, Urdu says, zarur ba zarur. Matumku azmaish karunga, amtumku azmaish karenge. We will definitely, most definitely test you. Why will test you? Not to put you down, to raise you, to pick you up. Because after this ayat, Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. Allah says, if you make a little sabr on this test, then what you get? The prize. The highest prize. You get the highest prize. Leave the insurance manager with you, or insurance broker with you, or the bank manager with you. Allah says, I will be with you. I will take from him. I will take, and you make a good sabr, I will give it back to you tenfold. And ask brothers that made the sabr. They were brothers at the time, COVID time, where they lost everything. Everything got burned, everything got looted. Allah Ta'ala took it away. And man is broken, has nothing. Yes, the man breaks down, he cries, he turns to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And then government gives one loan or something there. They're prepared now to help you out. They're prepared to help you out and will give you a loan for so many years, first year. No repayment, second year repayment with interest. So they threw this out to the people there. And there were brothers that were tempted to take it. Take it. We broke them, we finished. We had goods we didn't pay for, or we owe people money. And everything got burned, everything is gone. Take it, don't take it. What are we going to do? I had to move the whole family around, downgrade the lifestyle, children's schooling had to change. There were so many brothers that had to go through that we know of. Right, children will get certain schools, we can't afford the fees anymore. Move them now to government schools. Now, you can understand as a parent what's happening with mashwaras with the wife now. We've lost everything. We've got to start all over again. We don't have the capital. And here's now the dangling the banana before us. The first year, no repayment. Second year, you start paying again after you on your footing, but with interest. Brother comes to make mashwara, go to the ulama-i karam. What do I do? Can I take it? But you can't take it. But I'm down and out completely. I had stuff there that to pay so and so people. All got burnt, finished. What do I do now? And then, after some time, person may sabar send to Allah. Then the email comes that now we got a different scheme running, whatever it may be, that will inject into your business so much and no repayment or no interest repayment. Free. Ya Allah, where this came from? So when the baby cries, brother says, when the baby cries, the mother may be in deep sleep. But then she will hear the baby after some time. Then she will wake up. Oh my bachu, how long you were crying? How long you were crying? How the mother now gives the child three times the shafqat and love. When the child is sobbing, you can see from inside. We didn't hear you. The door got slammed. Usually we leave the child's room door open. But that day now he got, and he's standing by the door and he's crying his heart out. Yeah, how the mother grabbed the child. Bachu, how long you were crying? Allah says also, my bachu, how long are you going to cry now? Now what he's supposed to get initially is times 3, times 10 from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that now instant the help we wanted. We don't want a little bit crying, a little bit discomfort. We don't want the discomfort. We don't want the discomfort. Allah says, this dunya is not a place of comfort. Aram ki jaga nahi hai. As you mentioned a few days ago, Mari Umar Palampuri was saying, rahmatullahi alayhi, dunya mehnat ki jaga hai. Dunya is a place to exert yourself. Where in the ibadat of Allah, in the obedience of Allah, not to exert yourself in dunya. Dunya will not come according to your mujahada and qurbani and your exertion. That Allah will give you. Or he says, or qabr, وہ سونے کی جگہ ہے. In the قبر now you can sleep. Well, you know, kuffar, their lifestyle and the way they made us work now, there is no time to sleep also. اور جنت وہ مزے کی جگہ ہے. جنت now you must enjoy, but you want جنت وہی آنا. You want جنت in the دنیا, and what happens in آخرت, we'll see when we get there. We'll see, as I said, you can't see, it's a reality. It's a reality, the journey to Akhirat is a reality. We don't know whether the journey will start tonight, tomorrow night, whether I'm going to see the next day, I don't know, it's a reality. It's going to happen. That is why in one poem, the poet says, a person who's so busy in his business, so many phones he's got there on his desk, one phone for this country, one phone for that country, one is international, they got note, he's just taking calls upon calls. Just finish one call, he put that on hold. Hold on, get back to you now. I'm just talking to this guy. Mana, no time. Then he says that qaza akar. Hangama hayat ko khamush kar diya. Says qaza came, qaza means maut. Maut just came suddenly and quietened down the chaos of life. Just quietened it all of a sudden. Now the phones are ringing, nobody to answer it. Now you're going to pick up the phone. Sorry, today is janaza. What happened, pastor? Delete this number now, it's finished. Inna lillahi, it's gone. So busy he was, busy. And busy, Allah Ta'ala didn't want you to be so busy. Remember from Allah Ta'ala said, He didn't want you to be so busy. Allah Ta'ala didn't want you to be so busy. So we can't say, no, we have to work. Allah Ta'ala didn't want you to work like that. You opted. You wanted to do it that way. Allah Ta'ala didn't want it like that. Allah could have made it much easier for you. But you got into this way of life, now I've got to maintain it. So the life insurances, business insurances, vehicle insurances, yes, there are some ulama ikram that say because of the country we're living in, whichever alim we subscribe to, then we can ask them, Islam. Can I take out these insurances? Now we have certain type of insurances they come out with, that you put the money into a pool, and it's Sharia compliant, it's halal, etc. But many ulama ikram don't agree with it. So we can accordingly contact the ulama ikram, the muftis, etc. What is the mas'ala right now in regards to business, house insurance, vehicle insurances, because you're out on the road. Life insurances, nobody is from disability. Vehicle insurances, they are there. You've got a fleet of vehicles, fleet of cars, you've got a business, etc., etc. And we know the drivers on the road and the volatility of our situation right now. So we can contact those muftiya. But what I'm getting at, is that in our mind we should understand that this is not the ideal situation. This is not the ideal. The ideal is, as we mentioned yesterday, to make islah ibadat, then islah of our sifat and qualities of iman. That, Ya Allah, I am doing this, and to make the intention that if I mean it already, Ya Allah, show me a way out of this thing. That I don't have to put money in here. I don't know how much money goes into that backup. And whether really we get it back or not. It's gone, it's paid, the premiums are paid already. Whether I am going to get it back or not, I don't know, but I'm paying it right now. So the main thing we are getting it right now is to understand, it is not an Islamic thing. It's not a Sharia thing. It's because of the kufr and this secular type of system we are living in, therefore we are doing this thing. So that's why they say, don't try and make haram halal. If you know is that right, they can try and make it this Sharia compliant, but it could be Sharia compliant, but is that an Islamic thing? It's not an Islamic system. So we should still feel in our heart and fight the system. Ya Allah, we don't want the system. We don't live in this slavery. They're still making money out of us. Every month they're still paying towards it. What they're doing with the money, they're doing it. Our money is gone. We work hard for it, and we're going to pay so many thousands towards just now this vehicle insurances or business insurances. However, if forced by law to take out these insurances, it will be permissible. One can then only claim back the amount equivalent to the premium that he paid. It is permissible for a businessman to take a loan on interest from banks. There is hope that when one is forced to take due to dire circumstances, he will not be sinful if he has to. Buying a house is not a necessity. Many people say to have a house, now it's a necessity, therefore I can take an interest-bearing loan. Is that a necessity? It's a luxury. Whatever you can afford, then you can afford. If you pay rent, then you got to pay rent. However, these circumstances should be placed before a qualified mufti. Is it permissible to deal or be partner to someone who deals in interest? There also you got to be careful when he's asking you for an investment into his business or whatever it is, an injection into his business, ask him, how is everything above board? You're not involved in anything interest bearing. So you just can't go into it and say, no, is that my business? I can't ask him. It is your business, he's asking you for money. We're going together in a joint venture, so you got to ask him, how is everything above board? Does that thing interest over there? A penalty, referred to as a penalty of default, levied for not paying an installment promptly, is also regarded as interest. We have this now. You don't pay on time, then there's a penalty for you. Because you didn't pay your account on time, this is permissible. In fact, the reward, subhanallah, for a person, a default payment. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given such returns that you lent him 100,000 rand. So you get rewarded for that. Due date of payment, first of the month. He didn't pay. And he pulls you. 2 days, 5 days, 10 days, 1 month he pulls you. Oh, the Hadith Sharif implies implications, indirect, the reward is there, mentioned the riwayat, that you lend him 100,000 rand for every day that you give him respite is equal to you giving 100,000 rand in sadqah. 100,000 rand in sadqah you're giving every day. Just giving him, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَى. Quran says, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَجِيبٍ. We only understand Allah Pak's system. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ, Allah Ta'ala says, if he is ذُو عُسْرَةٍ, is in dire straits, he's broken, he's down and out. Allah is addressing now the person that gave the loan. What do you call him? Creditor. Allah is addressing the creditor. That if the debtor now is ذُو عُسْرَةٍ, is in dire straits, he's down and out, you lent him money. فَنَظِرَةٌ, Allah says, فَنَظِرَةٌ, give him respite. Allah is fighting his case and telling the creditor, give him respite. فَنَظِرَةٌ, doesn't end over there. The secrets of Quran are so beautiful, subhanallah. Allah says, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَى, give him respite إِلَى مَيْسَرَى till he becomes wealthy again. What does it mean? That Allah will pick him up sooner or later. Allah Pak doesn't say, just give him respite. And Allah Pak is going to keep him there. Allah says, give him respite till he becomes wealthy. What it means? If he does it right, you're going to be getting reward and his rosy will open up also. So both will win. Allah will never keep him down all the time. Allah will never keep him down. Ajeeb Hazrat, subhanallah. Understanding of Quran Sharif. Now recently also when he came to the Masla of Hajj. Hazrat Habib explained the Masla of Hajj. Ajeeb, subhanallah. Allah reward of Hazrat. What? Ma'rifat of Quran Sharif. When it comes to Hajj also, we know the Masla, that Hajj only becomes farz when the person has the enough money to go. Man istata'a, Quran says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ. This word, man istata'a, is the most important part. Hajj is farz upon the people. Man istata'a, on that person who has the istita'at, who has the financial ability. إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلَاتُ, take this path of Hajj. Hazrat says, in this word, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ, it shows you that Hajj is an expensive affair. The Quran says, only if you have the money. Hajj will always be expensive. Not from now, it was never cheap. It will always be the highest commodity in Shariat. This Allah Pak said, only if you have the money then. Now people don't have it, and they're shouting the agents and the governments, why you made it so expensive? Is it farz upon you? Is that false? So why are you making a noise? Well, Allah Pak is saying, only if you have the means. Means what? Means equal to what the package is, no matter what the price will be, istata'at, if we have the financial ability. If you don't have it, read Ishraq Namaz. You get the reward. Look at your parents, you get the reward of Hajj. So you want it, really you have desire for it. This is Allah Pak's system. So in this word, man istata'a, Allah is showing always, when it comes to Hajj, it will be an expensive affair. So, oh Ummah, don't cry. And don't fight with anybody. Allah Ta'ala didn't make it farz upon you. It's farz upon you. Now you have to borrow the money. No, no. You don't have it, you don't have it. So continue crying to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I want to. That's how we advise the brothers also. That if you were saving for Hajj, and now your name came out, you got accreditation, and you can't afford the package, now it's double the price, 150,000, and that time you saved up money, and you only have 50,000 now. 70,000, 80,000 they have now. Now you say, look at the package, I can't afford to go. No problem. The whole thing now, is it farz upon you to go for Hajj? But the whole thing now, you got shock and desire to go and see Baytullah. I want to see the house of Allah. The life and Qibla of my Salah, I want to go stand there by Baytullah. I want to go to the road of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I want to go to Madina Munawwara. Enjoy the experience of being close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Definitely everybody's heart should yearn to be there. No problem. Don't cry because of Hajj. You have that amount of money, 50,000-60,000. Go for a nice comfortable Umrah. Go make the Umrah. Even after Istifa' also. But at least in my lifetime I saw Baytullah. Whether I was there only for Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Zuhur and Fajr, I had to read him in the local Masjid Aziziyah. No problem. Don't cry about the rates. Yet Allah Pak's system is going to be like that. Is that the Saudi government? Is that the agents? Alright? Whether they put it up, is their season also? You also have your season. Then nobody shouts at you. The device is so expensive. So they have the season also. They're going to make their rosy. That's how the system has now worked out. At one time, yes, it was where the Ummah didn't have hotels. They will host everybody. A judge will come, will host them, will take care of them. Now the demographics have changed. So a person has savings, he said, go for that Umrah. Go, even you go to stay far also. But it is in your lifetime you saw Baytullah. You go to Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, you had desire to go make salam. And Nabi Ali Salatu Salam mentioned also the person who visits me after my demise, then for him my shafa'at intercession is wajib. As if he visited me in my lifetime. So come and make salam. That's why the Alim says that if only you knew really who's in Madinah al-Munawwara, then you would go there crawling. You will go there crawling also. So if I saved up, don't cry. I can't make it for Hajj. Inshallah, I will go for Umrah. Even if it be a package, it be in such a package that's absolutely a cheap package, the hotels are far away, no problem. Then to go. And dunya, we do that. We can't afford that 5-star hotel. What do you say? Stay at home. No. We'll take the 3 stars. No problem. As long as we go out, we just need to take a break. Because for the next 2 weeks, domestic won't be here. So, husband, you make a plan. You make a plan, but we just have to get out because there will be no domestic for 2 weeks. So he makes a plan. Whether it's 3-star or 2-star, he tell them, make the sabr now, at least we're out of the house. So, there we don't make a noise. Hotels are so expensive. We pay it, we go. But Hajj now, we want to fight with the agent. That's why in Quran, Allah Pak says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقُ وَلَا جِدَالَ. Don't fight in Hajj. Don't fight in Hajj. وَلَا جِدَالَ. Don't use obscene language in Hajj. So Allah Pak knew inside nature will be like that. So okay, let's finish this chapter, inshallah. So it is not permissible to deal or be partners with someone who deals in interest. It is not permissible to accept a gift from a non-Muslim usurer. You know, a person is involved now in interest and usury. He's a loan shark. He wants to give you one hadiah. He wants to give you one hadiah. But you know, he's going to catch you. The shark now is throwing bait at you. They make you a friend. They're going to offer you something that you can't refuse. So you know he's involved in interest. Oh, he's working in the bank also. Working in the bank, whole thing is based on interest. He's getting salary from there. Oh, whatever it may be, such an institution now, the entire thing is based upon interest. And now he's give you a gift, etc. And not permissible to accept it. You can't accept that gift. It's not permissible. A penalty referred, the salary for every type of bank employee is haram. If he's working directly in the bank, then the salary is haram. How many brothers realize this and they make mashwara? What do I do? So the masla, Allah Ta'ala made it very easy. You're working in the bank, you earning 20,000 a month. You don't say just give up your job. The masla is look for an alternate. Just paying you the same amount of salary. Once you can secure that, then you leave this job. Even though it's absolutely haram, then to continue here, Allah Ta'ala is compassionate, Allah is giving you a leeway. To continue, but genuinely look for a job and you will make it. As I mentioned this, Quran ayat says, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ مَيْسَرَةٌ فَنَظِرَةٌ Allah will open the way sooner or later. If you do it right, it will open up. If one is forced to keep money in a bank, the interest money accrued should be withdrawn. It should be, that's an original masla. The money has to be taken out. You have to go to the ATM and withdraw that interest money. And give it out, not in sadaqah also, give it out free, without the intention of any reward. Who you can give it to any zakat recipient. Any Muslim, poor Muslim, you can take zakat, you can give it to him. No problem. Whether we have some domestics at home also that are working there, you can give to any non-Muslim or any zakat Muslim zakat recipient. So the original masta, you should withdraw it. But we know now, even to go to the ATM, it's a bit risky nowadays. So as I mentioned a few days ago, that we have different organizations that collect zakat, etc. And they have banking details. Add them on as a beneficiary on your app. Right? With our jamiyats, whether the Darul Ihsan, whether the Ali Imdad, whatever they are now. You all are doing, mashallah. The Darulums also, they take zakat. Right? So then you can transfer this interest. And then the one day reference you can put the zakat also. Because the same avenue, same recipient. So you can put the zakat. So you put in the account of that organization, the interest now is taken care of, it's out of your system. The general ruling regarding handing out interest money is that it is better to give it to poor Muslims. Though it is permissible to give to poor non-Muslims also. In both cases, it should be given without the intention of gaining any reward. If a family member is such that he can be given zakat, and is amongst your ascendants or descendants, then it will be permissible to hand over the interest money to him. Understand what he's saying now? If a family member is said he can be given zakat, and is amongst your ascendants or descendants, meaning parents, your ascendants, parents, grandparents, descendants, children, grandchildren, etc. So these two categories you can't give zakat to them. Cannot give zakat to your children or to your parents, etc. Brothers, sisters, you can give zakat. Uncle, aunts, you can give zakat. Nephew, nieces, you can give zakat. Your spouse also you can give. Can't give zakat to your spouse because you've been enjoying the same thing now. So we all will be doing that. So you can't give spouse, you can't give ascendants and descendants. But you see, when it comes to the interest money, if they are deserving of zakat, you can't give them zakat, but you can give them the interest money according to this masala. So it will be, then it will be permissible to hand over the interest money to him. But zakat you can't give to them. Interest money cannot be utilized for one's personal needs, nor should it be donated for any religious cause. If a government imposes an oppressive tax on its citizens, it will be permissible for one to pay such taxes with interest money, provided, this is the precondition, provided that the interest has been acquired from a governmental banking institution. So you only can give back interest to a certain organization or institution if you got the interest from them. Then you can give it back to them to offset some taxes or some charges. You can't take now from a certain bank, a non-government bank, take interest from there and pay a government tax according to the fatwa of Darul Uloom Azadul. You can't do that. Because now it's your personal benefit. If it's within that same institution, then it's permissible. Provided that the interest has been acquired from a governmental banking institution, since one is returning the interest to the same source from where it was derived. However, interest derived from commercial banks, where most people generally do their banking, cannot be used to pay any form of taxes to the government. It is not permissible to install an ATM in one store, as it is tantamount to indirectly promoting the transactions of a bank, many of which are interest-based. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding when it comes to interest and usury, that we don't get involved in this. That's why we should make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, give us pure halal rozi from your khazana, from your treasures. We don't get involved with this thing. Otherwise, they see our interest in banking, therefore they are looking for more products to get us more involved. And the reality is, even in this kitab, it will come ahead also. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for the businessman, for the tajir. He said nine tenths of barakat Allah Pak has kept in tijarat. Nine tenths of barakat Allah Pak has kept in business. One tenth Allah Ta'ala has kept in cultivation and farming, agriculture. Nine tenths is in business. But we know business is not easy. Or you say magajmar, you gotta break your head. But that is what you don't understand, is the whole system behind it. If you ask the ulama ikram, that understand these concepts, they will tell you that insan, Allah Ta'ala made insan to make effort, to be busy. Insan has to be busy. And they say the normal situation is that insan has to be kept busy till the age of about 45. He should never ever think now to be free. Once he's free before 45, the fitna starts. The fitna start because you still got jawani. He's still young. And now I got free time. I have made money and I'm sitting. You still have, the healthiest thing for insan, for male and female, is they have to work till 40, 45. What do you say 40, 45? By that age already, they did according to Sharia, by that age already they become grandparents. By 40, usually just the youngest or so, you can become a grandparent. By 45, quite comfortably now, you will have grandchildren. Now start freeing yourself. Till that age, you should be working 8 to 5. Till you are tired, there is no free time to do anything else. And we look just around people that we might know, they got free before that. So nothing to do, what to do now? Now he's got spare time and he's got money. What is he going to do? Fitnas will start now. Now the fitnas will start, the wife is worried to where is he gone. What's he doing? He's got free time and he's got wealth. So it's just a normal, natural way. Insan has to work. He has to be busy till he's 40, 45. He's working the whole day. He got his salah on time, everything. He's got his amal. He's got his effort of deen, etc. And by the evening, he's tired. By the evening, he must be tired. There's no time to do anything else. Now, when he's free, then we know he's got energy still after Isha. What does he do with the energy? Pedal tennis. I'm not lying, but you know that. But this is our going. But you could, it's your family time now. Now, if you're not giving her their time, where is her time coming out? Where is her time coming out? It's not going to come out in halal activities only. It's going to come out somewhere else. It'll be some haram activity. Whether on the phone, whether on the TV. Alright? Her time has to come out somewhere. And the avenues of haram are freely available. She's not going to sit with the children for 2 hours ta'aleem. Papa is going to play fiddle tennis, you're going to make ta'aleem 2 hours. Nobody is 2 hours ta'aleem. Not possible. Homework to children, finish the homework quickly. What is she going to do thereafter? Then they're going to say, now he's stuck on the phone. Now he found somebody to speak to because he's gone with the boys. One day is astroturf, then Tuesday is pedal tennis, then Thursday is coffee with the boys, and then Wednesday is something else, and then Friday he's gone to have ice cream. Something or other, he got some activity. The early morning also he's busy, he's gone out again. He's gone out again early morning. So she's going to also be bored at home. So it's a whole unnatural system. That's why they're giving you all these avenues of riba. They make your money quickly and relax. Relax means now, get involved in haram. That's what our relaxing means, get involved in haram. Who's going to get involved in halal things? That now I'll do some community work, give some time over there. Let the community work to how halal is it. There's male and female all intermingling there also. All intermingling there also. The women who want to do some community work, they're going out. And now they are doing food distribution. For them, it's not permissible to go out. So then they're touching that man's hand, the beggar is coming. Even for them to give sadqah also. Yes, there's a way how for them to give. Now they're driving cars, so they stop at the robot, they open the window, the beggar comes. It's a ghair mahram, so then she touches his hand. You can't do that. She should have no contact with him. Sadqah, she wants to give from whom? Give it from home or tell the husband, here's my sadqah, you distribute it. For them to interact with the men, is that permissible at all? Not jais. This is where the sharam and haya is being destroyed every time. Interaction with men. They should be staying absolutely far from men. No interaction, not even coming near to them. Nothing whatsoever. But now they get accustomed to that. We are busy, they also get busy with other activities. And we get all the cases coming all the time. Unnatural system. The system is like how the old people would say. One old man recently is telling me also that now there were some accusations against his son. Said, Mufti Sahib, impossible he was involved with that. Impossible. I can tell you now that he was involved with anything besides I know what he's doing. I said, how are you so certain about it? He said, Mufti Sahib, I got him. He's a father, my son. He got big children. But I got him absolutely tight and he's up for Fajr every day. We go Fajr namaz together. We read Quran together. Although now he's a big father. We come home, I know he's having his breakfast, then he must leave for the shop, he must go and open. 5 past 6, 7 o'clock, he's gone. All days in Dukanma. He must work till he's tired, he's got time for nothing else. He'll go for namaz, come back to the shop, close up, back home. The family is waiting, supper with the family, Isha, Maghrib, back home, ta'aleem, sleep. He's got no energy to do anything else. He just works, and his family, and his deen, nothing, the triangle. He's got time for nothing else, not to breathe, not to make any other move. Unless I give him some leeway, this way or that way. Otherwise, I know exactly what he's doing. There's no time for anything else. And that should be the system. Where a person works properly, and we know, if prematurely a person wants to take a break from his business, ask any person that did it. We can have the best manager. But how he manages now to filter the funds out of the business. Doesn't go back into the business. We know that. It just is not the same as when a person himself is there. It's never the same. So Allah Pak has a system where insan has to work. Allah Ta'ala made his body for your dunya, you have to work. But in reality, it's deen this. You got all these amal, they're attached. So this is deen. You got it now. So 9/10 of barakat Allah Pak is kept in tijarat. Why in tijarat in business? Because business is based upon tawakkul. The businessman is connected to the masjid, he's making dua every day, Allah. Today things will be good. And it will go down, and it will come up. It does it right, then the normal system of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, by 45, 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the way for him. Allah ta'ala opens the way for him. Then he settles down. Ask any man that did it right. But by that age already, alhamdulillah, he says, I'm comfortable now. I thought I'll make big money. I got enough, I'm comfortable. Children are settled down also, alhamdulillah. They're taking care of me. I got their grandchildren. I'm a happy man. I don't have millions in the bank. I have no insurance policies, alhamdulillah. Everything is free, whole, Allah shukr. And I'm comfortable. I got my namaz, I got my Quran tilawat, I got some time for taqadah of deen, alhamdulillah. Allah will make a plan somewhere. Allah will make a plan somewhere. Maybe it was his mistake. Maybe it was his mistake. He had to have a tough life because his father-in-law wasn't rich. It was his fault. He got married in the family. So he had to work very hard till 45, 50. But then Allah gave him, mashallah, gave him a good son-in-law. Son-in-law says, don't worry, Papa, you just relax now. What is son-in-law? And son-in-law also became Gar Jamai. He's staying, he said, I'll take care of the house, don't worry. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala makes some avenue open some way or the other. Allah makes some plan some way or the other. Allah Ta'ala's system is like that. So we just do it right. We just do it right and we see the barakat of it, inshallah. So the whole thing, my dear brothers, is first to understand there is a Shari'i system. There is a Shari'i system where we have to exert ourselves. Dunya will take a bit of knock, up and down, tests will come, but the tests won't come in old age. Remember, take a lot of time, but anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's dua that he made, that O Allah, give me awsa'u rizqik alayya inni kibari sinni. Ya Allah, give me the awsa'a means to be vast, to be expanded, awsa'a. The most expanded. Ya Allah, give me the most expanded, the most vast, the majority and bulk of my sustenance in my old age. The sunnah dua. Give it in my old age. And look at the wisdom of this dua. See those youngsters that made it when they're young. What happens? There's no qadr. No appreciation. They do not. The money controls them. The wealth controls them. The wealth controls them. They don't know how to handle it. That's why too young, too much of money, not healthy. Father has to keep it tight. They have to still ask. It's not just free. It's not just free. It has to be tight. So Nabi of Allah may dua, ya Allah, give it to me my old age. What is old age of the ummah? What is old age now? That's a question. What is old age? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned more or less that the average age of my ummah is between 60 to 70. 60 to 70, and after that you can say it's bonus now. Every day is a bonus. Shukr salah, I made it. One more day, one more day. So 60 to 70, so it will be old age. Once you're over 40 now, they say once the first grey hair comes out, already it's a call from Allah. Then now you're getting closer. So but after 40 more or less, when the grey hair starts, already it's old. Although we're feeling young, I still feel I'm young, got a lot of energy. Yes, the energy is there to make ibadat, not to tour the world now. It's to make ibadat. But we're using the energy elsewhere. Against the deen of Allah. Pack up the family, let's go here, let's go there. Now I still have energy now to do the effort of deen. I made my dunya, it takes 20-25 years. 20-25 years, Allah Pak says now, the grey hairs have come out, it's already it's an external reminder for maut. The white hair is an external reminder that maut is coming soon now. The time soon is going to be up. Now start leaving your dunya, take off your foot off the accelerator, but now. By that age already. Don't look for new ventures now, new avenues to get more busy. Now hand it over slowly, you got enough to eat, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. I'm comfortable in life, let's do some deeni work now. Let's do some deeni kaam now. Wherever I can give my time, whether in jamaat, whether in tasawwuf, tazkiyah, whether in the masjid, whether I need to go back to madrasa, touch up my Quran Sharif, because when I go to the qabr, I'm going to be asked the day of qiyamah to read Quran Sharif. As Mawlana Sulaiman Jandi mentioned, rahmatullah alayh, he says, when you go to Jannah, then you saw the hoor, she came walking towards you, he says, on the catwalk she'll come walking. He says, subhanallah, I never saw this model before. Latest model, 2024. She had driving pleasure. He says, subhanallah. Where she came from? He says, now, he says, you know, he says, aage barna hai. You know, go forward. He says, hold on. To pay the meher. He says, how much? I made enough. He says, no. You know Surah Yasin Bahat, the Tajweed? He didn't learn it. He says, sorry. He says, sorry. You didn't make the mahir. He says, inna lillahi. She had gone to the hifta to learn my Tajweed at least now. Now I'm only looking. Now only, but I can't do anything else. He says, this is now slow torture. You can see, but you can't do. And we know, when the wife says, headache, he said, ya Allah. How long is going to carry on now? How is going to carry on? So here I'm seeing now, latest model, but I can't drive the car. I can't drive the car, so some glitch in the system, can't get the finance or whatever, or got rejected. Ya Allah, but ask the brother that applied for a visa for UK or Australia. And they want now his bank statements. And he sent the top one, and they rejected. He said, boy, what's wrong? I said, you all, my whole property portfolio, I said, my bank statements. Then Mulisa, his visa came through. He got nothing in his bank account. I said, mine, this got approved. How he feel? He said, how they rejected this? Something wrong with these guys. We say it also. He saw my bank, they rejected my visa application. How that happened? Imagine Jannat now, we got rejected. Why he didn't know your surahs of Tajweed? Why he didn't learn it? So we have the opportunity. So Nabi Ali made dua, ya Allah, give me the best of my sustenance in my old age. Give it to my old age. So when I was thinking about this hadith of this dua of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, then you think to yourself. When you think to yourself that when you came to your own children and you didn't have it, it wasn't so hard to tell them, make sabr. And we should tell them. You can't give them everything. Instant gratification, everything they want, they'll get it. They know the father will buy it. So there's no qadr, no appreciation, no shukr. What's left for them to be thrilled about? There's nothing left to be thrilled about. So they say that to tell the family, to tell the children at that time, sorry, we don't have it, not difficult. We can tell them, make sabr, don't buy it. And very easy we tell them, but most fathers use that certain term, we'll see. Because we're thinking about the ocean, but the sea. But they say, we'll see. Sea is very big. So if Papa says, we'll see, it means, start coming. We'll see. So we should use that now and then. We'll see. Inshallah. Make dua. You finish your Quran first. You get your work done. We'll see, inshallah. But, so that's easy to say to the children. But to tell the grandchildren, we don't have, very hard. Very difficult. Where now we hear the grandchild saying, I don't know, go by Dada, I'll go by Nana. By Nana, Nani's house, everything is there. Dada's house now is taking the flat, it's so small, you can't play there, can't play scooter, then Dada is shouting all the time, but he wants to sleep, can't play over there. I go to Nana's house, got a nice big yard there. When you're old, then it's difficult to tell the grandchildren no. Nabi of Allah may dua, ya Allah, give it to me when I'm old. When the grandchildren come, Hassan, Hussein, etc., then we can spend on them. Radiallahu anhumah. That's when you really need it. Now I just want to give my grandchildren. Then I want to give my daughters also now. That's the time to make the money. Now, I only need so much. Let us give it to the children, let them enjoy it. Whilst I'm alive, alhamdulillah, they can go for the umrah, they can go in the path of Allah, daughter can come stay home, send your husband 4 months, no problem. We're comfortable at home. We've got space for you, no problem. When I was young, I could say no. Now I'm old, I don't want to say no. Now I want to give it to them now. I'm on my way out. So there's a whole Shari'i system of earning a halal rosy, how to spend it, how to save it, how to utilize it, how to distribute it. It's a whole perfect, beautiful system. So much of barakat and so much of du'as you will get, unlike this kuffar system, where you left so much and the children are still cursing you. Children are still cursing. They don't want to come to their qabr also. They don't want to make du'a for you also. Although we left so much behind, but no du'as. And you see the other people, they did right, they didn't leave so much behind. What did the son will say? So much of barakat, so much of barakat, so much. Can't make enough dua to my parents. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma alhamdulillah. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk.